Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Football Podcast. This is episode number 25. I am your host, David Feld, and tonight we are once again joined by Ray Mazzarella. Ray is a prolific writer for the FantasyTeamAdvice.com website, which is owned and administered by one KJ Johnson, who is gracious enough to give us this podcast forum with which to schmooze football. So let's get right into it. It looks like the LeSean Shady McCoy to Buffalo trade is a done deal. It did cost them Kiko Alonso, a really good young player who missed all of last year with a knee injury, but this is a huge upgrade for the Bills' offense. Ray, it cost the Bills a really good young player, but a couple questions. A, what does this do for LeSean McCoy's fantasy value? And B, what does this do for the Bills' defensive special teams fantasy value, since with Rex Ryan now there and that loaded defense, it looked like it was going to be one of the top defenses in the league. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, first off, Dave, I'm actually pretty happy that we have some breaking news to talk about. It seemed that, you know, there were people getting released around the league, but it was generally quiet for the most part until this news broke today. And it's not really often you get to see this kind of like franchise-defining move. And then again, provided that it all goes through, there's still a week for Shady to sit there and say, hey, I don't want to go to Buffalo, and then for Buffalo to rethink it. A lot can happen, but again, we'll assume that this trade does wind up going through for the purposes of what we're talking about. I don't really think he dinks Shady too much, even though the situation-wise, you got to, you know, people are going to assume he's going from, you know, a better situation in Philly to a quote-unquote maybe a worse team, worse situation, but I still think he's going to be used heavily in Buffalo. If Rex Ryan decides to throw to him, which Chip Kelly really didn't do a lot last season, that's going to, you know, further up his value. And either way, I don't think he's going to fall out of the first couple of picks range. Bill's defense, that's a big blow to them, losing a young player like Kiko Alonso. But, again, there's still a lot of time between free agency and the draft for them to fix up, patch up those holes. And, again, Rex Ryan being their head coach is always bodes well for the defense. But the other kind of thing I wanted to touch on regarding Shady leaving Philly is that, you know, where does Philly go here at the running back position? You know, you got Darren Sproles and Chris Polk right now. And part of this is just pure speculation on my part, Dave, but I think Chip Kelly has his eye on somebody, maybe one or two of these running backs in this draft class, which is supposed to be loaded with talent like last year's receiver class was. I'm thinking if he's willing to unload Shady, which is such a dynamic player, I think he's got to have his eye on one of these younger guys. What do you think? Do you think that's a possibility?
I would think they're going to have to do something with a running back. There's a few guys who are available, and I can't see them running the ball with Darren Sproles and Chris Polk, so I don't you know, I'm not so sure that that's the way they're going to go. I would imagine they're going to shore that up. I mean, you do have Justin Forsett out there. You know, for what it's worth, Reggie Bush is out there. Adrian Peterson can be had for, you know, a lot of money. But I think that they're probably going to, you know, they're probably going to draft somebody. I just don't see it happening. I mean, Chris Polk's not a bad player. I mean, he was drafted, you know, he was ranked pretty high coming out of college. You know, he wasn't in that top tier of running backs when he came out. But he was, you know, I thought that that was an interesting place for him to land because LeSean McCoy's contract was going to be coming up in a couple of years, and I thought that Chris Polk could make some hay there. And Chip Kelly's offense, he, like, you know, obviously likes to throw the ball. They're running close to 70 plays a game. I thought that last year's use of LeSean McCoy was interesting. I don't know if it was a decline in, in performance level or talent or skill or whatever with LeSean McCoy. I just thought it was Chip Kelly just not being as enamored with, you know, he had a quarterback situation where he had to switch to, you know, Foles got hurt, Sanchez came in. Not sure how much that affected. I think it became a little bit more predictable when they were going to run, as opposed to 2 years ago where LeSean McCoy was the best player in the league, and you know him and Jamaal Charles were like neck and neck for the two best backs, fantasy-wise anyway, and probably real football-wise. So I would think they're going to have to address it. I could see them making a move for C.J. Spiller. I could see them making a move for Justin Forsett. I could, you know, they probably both, either could be had for probably $3.5-4 million, something like that. It'll fit under their cap. They've got some decent room. They just added a tremendous linebacker, provided he comes back healthy from that knee. I think that it was a win-win for both teams. I'm not sure LeSean McCoy could be too happy about going up against the Jet defense twice, you know, twice a year, and the Dolphin defense twice a year, because those two teams are pretty stout against the run. But you know, he can run the ball against the Patriots, and I don't know what the schedule is going to be like for the upcoming season, but LeSean McCoy is probably looking back there at the quarterback going, E.J. Manuel, geez, I don't know. You know, he does have Sammy Watkins take the top off the defense a little bit and give him some more space, probably underneath. And I do anticipate that they'll be grounded and pounding just like Rex likes to do. They're not going to run a lot of plays because they don't. It didn't happen with the Jets for 5 years. You know, just they didn't have the volume of plays, and you know, the quarterbacking was suspect to bad at the very best, you know, that it got in New York. The Jets didn't have anybody as talented as Sammy Watkins to throw the ball to, or Robert Woods for that matter, as a number two. They're tight end deficient, and the line is weak in Buffalo right now. So I would imagine the defense, as solid as it is, Buffalo's probably going to look to add a couple of linemen either via free agency and definitely draft somebody, and perhaps maybe take a chance on Jake Locker or Mark Sanchez as the quarterback or something. I don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback situation over there, but if teams don't respect them passing the ball and they're loading up on the run, it's going to be a long season for LeSean McCoy there. I mean, he can't be happy. The NFC East defenses are not anywhere near as strong as they used to be, and he's going into a situation where you're talking about two teams that are very, very good against the run. So he's got to play them each four times. So it's a quarter of the season against some tough runs. So I mean that's the short answer.
definitely.
You know, I think that, and as far as like the defensive value for the Bills goes, I think that they're going to be good still. The linebacker that they drafted last year turned out to be a pretty good player. I just can't remember his name. He's another good young player. I don't think he made the Pro Bowl like Alonzo did, but he had a really good rookie season, and they were talking him up pretty high. Now, I follow the AFC pretty close. I just can't remember the guy's name. Preston Brown.
Yes. That sounds right. And there's a lot of good edge rushers in this class that really upped their value with their combine. So maybe Buffalo's going to look to give somebody, maybe like a defensive line upgrade, and at some point in the draft or maybe early on to try to offset the loss of Alonzo, who's a great player. So it's not going to be an easy job.
Yeah, absolutely, great young player. It's absolutely true. I don't see, I think LeSean McCoy's value took a little hit here. As for his fantasy value. I mean, if I'm drafting for 1 year, just say it's a redraft. I don't like to necessarily talk redraft, as much, but in a redraft situation, I'm thinking he gets knocked down a couple pegs here. In fact, if C.J. Spiller or Justin Forsett go to Philadelphia, I'm thinking those guys probably have equal value for next year, or maybe slightly better. I don't know. If I'm sitting there and somebody really wants LeSean McCoy, I probably have less of a problem trading out of the spot and to take Spiller or Forsett or whoever, if somebody like that winds up in Philadelphia, I'm probably okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of time. I mean, free agency is going to start next week and all the dominoes. I think this trade is going to set a lot of different dominoes off as far as around the league, and who knows how much of that the Bills are going to be in on. If they can find a good enough quarterback out there for Rex Ryan and Greg Roman to work with, and if they maybe get receiver in the draft, even they can just
I think Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods that's a really good 1-2 punch right there. Tight end. They fix tight end and find another back that they have two backs that they can throw to, like a not somebody as powerful as Sproles, obviously, receiving the ball. But maybe Reggie Bush goes there for a little bit of money and just does nothing but third down pass catching and what have you, or spells LeSean McCoy when he gets the opportunity. And, you know, it's now a dual, you know, now that I have two dual threat backs, I just don't see Bryce Brown stepping into the mix and getting much action here. I think they're going to have to do something else, too.
Well, I think Fred Jackson's still around, too. I mean, he's a good player around there for depth purposes.
Boy, I tell you, that's if they fix the line, it could be something, you know?
Yeah.
It really could be. It could be a really potent running game if they get that going. And that's what he likes to do. He likes to run the football and pound your backside in on defense. And he just, you know, he can do it. He can, you know, that team is, you know, second, you know, overall, like, you know, he was left the Jets where the defense was always one of the top defenses. You know, it's just unfortunate. But I think he's going to face the same situation there. If the quarterback is bad, his defense is going to be facing a short field because the offense is bad. And how many three and outs can your defense withstand before they fade in the fourth quarter and just can't hold it up anymore?
Sure.
I can see that dynamic.
All the valid points, yes.
I could see that dynamic working on him too. It's a huge deal. I mean, you know, why was Philadelphia looking to get rid of somebody that good? Isn't that weird?
It seems weird on the surface. I mean, my girlfriend's a huge Eagles fan, and she was not happy with this news, especially considering it was a one-for-one deal. And kind of the way I'm looking at it is that this is a move to be very, very polarizing within the Eagles fan base. And the only way to appease a lot of Eagles fans, I think, at this point, is going to be to make sure that they do everything they can to move up and be in a position to draft Marcus Mariota. I mean, that's really, I think, what a lot of this is, you know, all, you know, seems like it's going to be leading to. And for the sake of that fan base, it might have to. Otherwise, we'd have a lot of sleepless nights in Philly coming up this season.
You know, LeSean McCoy is scheduled to make he's scheduled to count $9.75 million against the cap this year. And, you know, Kiko Alonso was a second-round pick, so he's not making that much money. I mean, I figure he goes up to probably $1 million this year, or maybe like, you know, high $800,000, $900,000, something like that. He's right around $1 million, so it's an enormous savings. But they have $30 million under the cap before this deal. And it costs roughly like $2.5 to $3 million to sign all your rookies. Depend, you know, if you have normal draft picks, it's like $2.5 million. If you have an extra first rounder or an extra second rounder, it pushes you up a little higher to that $2 million range. So they have a ton of money. You know, their defense is pretty good, is pretty damn good. I mean, their secondary is actually really, they're loaded, and you know, all over the defense. But I just don't. If the line gets fixed, and, you know, again, E.J. Manuel's the wild card there. If the line gets fixed, it could really mean something. I don't know if the money meant that much to Philly, or if, like you said, they're just gonna, you know, they're just gonna spend draft picks and maybe a player to try and acquire the draft position to take the guy he wants, which is Marcus, according to, you know, everybody that's writing on it, the guy that he wants is Marcus Mariota. I can't imagine that that they would mortgage that much of the future doing it. I'm not sure it's the right thing to do. But I could see Philadelphia fans being pretty upset about losing a player this good.
Absolutely. It all seems to kind of make sense in the framework of what Chip Kelly's been doing. Kiko Alonso played for Chip at Oregon, so on the surface, this move kind of makes sense from that standpoint. Chip is really trying to mold this team in his image. You know, DeSean Jackson was bounced last year. You know, Shady McCoy, I don't think a lot of people, when Chip took over that job, I don't think a lot of Eagles fans would believe you if you told them that within the first 2 years, both Shady and DeSean would be out. So, this is going to make or break his tenure, I think, more so than shipping off DeSean. This move could be the defining moment for this era of Eagle football.
Yeah, I mean, Rex, apparently neither of them are messing around, and they went and got their guys, so we shall see. But, you know, that brings us to the potential, you know, potential replacements for everybody, because there's a ton of free agents out there right now, and it hasn't, you know, doesn't kick off until next week. But, you know, we'll touch on some of the recent releases, like Reggie Bush, Steven Jackson. Even I believe Jeremy Maclin was told that they were not interested in pursuing re-signing him either. You've got Chris Johnson still out there, plus tons of other guys. And, you know, while Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, and guys like Justin Houston have all been franchise tags, these are, you know, Andre Johnson's looking for a trade, as his coach has intimated that his role will be reduced. And, you know, so how does that – not that I necessarily want to talk about Philly for the next 15 minutes, but, you know, I mean, that's – it is the big news of the day, and we haven't had much because it's, you know, March.
So, yeah, exactly.
Before free agency, so there's absolutely nothing going on. But this at least, this is a major ripple. So, what do you think Reggie Bush? What do you think's happening with him? You think it's are we seeing the end here?
Are we seeing what?
Are we seeing the end of Reggie Bush here?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, as far as a fantasy relevant asset, I'm talking about, not as. Obviously, as a person or as a football player, but
I think that the window of opportunity for Reggie and every week, even an every week RB2, I think that ship has sailed with this this release right here. I mean, he's going to sign with somebody. Somebody's going to use him. I think they're going to use him in that third down back role, that pass catching back role. I think. The days of him being a feature back, I think that ship has sailed. But a lot of it's going to, and especially for a lot of these guys, it's all situation, maybe not all of it, but a good amount of it's always situation dependent, especially for a guy like Reggie. He's getting up there in years, but he's still going to be useful, but just not in the capacity that you would expect over the last couple seasons.
Yeah, and it really, for him, at this point of his career, really does depend on where he ends up. I mean, he was with the Dolphins. Well, the first, like, 4 or 5 years of his career, or 4 years of his career, whatever it was, 5 years, he was basically, like, mostly injury-prone, you know, missed a lot of games, and even though when he was healthy, he was excellent sometimes when he was healthy. And he's one of the few backs to ever put up 50 points in a fantasy game. As standard scoring goes, and that doesn't happen except a couple of times, and you know, he was one of them. And I can see that, he was averaging about 8.5 points a game in standard scoring, 8 to 8.5 points a game. Then he goes to the Dolphins, 2 years behind that line with Matt Moore, and they hadn't figured it out with Ryan Tannehill yet. Basically no receivers. They were so desperate they re-signed Brian Hartline for $6.5 million a year, who just got released as well, by the way. And he averages 10.5 points a game and then goes to Detroit, where he puts up, you know, a couple 12-point seasons and finished in the top 10. You know, he was in the RB1 discussion for a little while there, performing better than Darren Sproles was doing, whether he was in New Orleans or in Philadelphia. So I think he still has value in that role, but at 30 years old, he just came off another season where he missed a lot of time, and I'm not certain that, you know, if you can get him and you don't have to use him on a full-time basis, and you can get him for that, like, right around $3 million or so, I think he could really help somebody. Where the exact opposite is Steven Jackson, who I don't think anybody's going to just don't see that happening.
Steven Jackson's getting up there in the years, and, you know, he's got a lot treading the tires. But I think that if he gets signed by a team that he has a shot to actually, you know, finish on a team with a winning record, he's never finished on a team with a winning record in his whole career. 8-8 was the best he got, and that was, I believe, his rookie year when the Rams made the playoffs as the wild card. But if he can get signed by a team that has a shot at being, a playoff contender or a Super Bowl contender, that's going to, you know, he's going to motivate him to play that much harder. And if he's able to run behind a better line that can keep him up, and if he can get, you know, enough carries in to wear down the defense, I think he can still have some value. Definitely not, I don't think, a full-time starter. But if he's got the experience to carry a team on his back if he needs to. So that's all
I don't
valuable.
Know about that, man. Even when the Falcon line, I know he was taking a beating at the beginning of the year because the Falcon line was basically all in the hospital. They were using practice squad players and guards. I mean, they were until Bruce Matthews got healthy and the other guard got healthy. They were in big, big trouble. But then they got healthy and they started to, you know, move the ball a little bit better. He still looked like he was running away from that. I'm telling you, I'm not sure. I think that's done and over with. I mean, a great guy. You know, great attitude, excellent player for a long time. He's got so many miles on him. And I just don't. I think that if some team takes him, it'll just be for, you know, again, like a third down roll, because he wasn't. He is probably still an excellent pass catching back, but
yeah.
I just don't see him seeing many more than, you know, maybe 7 to maybe 10 touches a game at the most. If you know, if he goes to a situation where they already have a back who can play three downs, I don't think that he's gonna put much effort in there. But
hey,
the teams who are receiver starved is Philadelphia is not gonna revisit the Jeremy Maclin thing. And you know, he got paid that 1 year $5.5 million coming off the knee, and he looked really good last year. I don't know why they're not interested in bringing him back. Maybe because he's just in love with Jordan Matthews and thinks that Riley Cooper and Josh Huff are going to be, you know, featured in the, you know, more in the passing game. But I Jeremy Maclin's a good player, and I know a ton of teams that could use him.
Definitely.
What do you think?
He put up a big year when he needed to. He wanted the opportunity to get, you know, paid more money either by Philly or by somebody else. And I don't think they were going to use the use the franchise tag. I don't think we're going to be willing to pay him, what would be, $13 million if they would have tagged him?
No, there's not a chance he's worth $13 million, right? I mean, come on.
He's a good
He'll get Eric Decker money. He'll get $6.5 million, you know, whatever. I can't imagine that is he really asking that kind of bread?
Well, I don't know if he's necessarily asking that kind of for that kind of money, but I also don't think that the Eagles would be willing to pay him that a deal where he's going to get that much for the upcoming season, you know, no matter how the deal's spaced out. And he is a good player, but at the same time, he's put into the DeSean Jackson role. You know, he had to take over as the top receiver, and you saw the numbers that DeSean put up in his last season in Philadelphia in that system, and Maclin able to do the same thing, a similar player, not
Yeah, absolutely.
Not too
no,
too
we
similar.
Talk about, you know, you're talking 1,300 mm-hmm. yards and 10 touchdowns,
yeah.
143 targets, and he didn't fumble one time. I mean, that's a good player right there. There's no question.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking, you know, if he doesn't come out asking, you know, 10, whatever, you know, maybe you go to 7 for him. I don't know, you know, but I think that if I'm the Oakland Raiders with as much cap room as they have and as receiver stars as they have, even if I'm drafting a guy, I'm still looking to sign Jeremy Maclin if I'm them. Like somebody like that. You know, maybe Houston looks at him as a compliment to DeAndre Hopkins if Andre Johnson doesn't stick around, because there's a report that, you know, his coach has intimated that he is no longer going to be a featured aspect of the offense. And I think he immediately said, get me out of here, kind of thing.
True. Fantasy-wise, I don't see him having much more value if he signs elsewhere. I think the most value he'll have fantasy-wise is if he winds up staying in Philadelphia. That's just my opinion, but I can't really see him being
if he goes to a team with a bad, well, Philadelphia is a team with a bad quarterback situation. If he goes to a team with a good quarterback situation, just say that for whatever reason Green Bay doesn't re-sign Randall Cobb at 9 point, whatever he's asking, and they get Jeremy Maclin for, say, 7 or 8. That's a, you know, that's an even swap almost, as far as like the fantasy numbers from last year are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I think Randall Cobb's a little bit better than him, no question, and probably should command a little more money than him. But, you know, if they have to replace a guy and they don't think Davante Adams or, you know, whoever, Jared Aberdaris or who's the other receiver there, big tall guy who's a good, like, underneath big body dude. Jeff Janis. And, I mean, I would think that, you know, they're looking at improving young players on their team, plus they're getting Aberdaris back from the knee injury. I would think that they're looking, it's like they might be okay at receiver and they don't have to spend the bread to keep Randall Cobb, even though they really like him. I think that that's a team that's in cap trouble, needs defense. So, you know, perhaps, you know, if Maclin goes to a team that's got a good quarterback, I think his fantasy value is right there. But I think he's going to finish in the top 10 again.
It was definitely possible. There's a lot, and again, he's another situation-dependent guy, I believe.
What do you make of this Andre Johnson stuff?
Oof.
They basically told them they don't want him anymore. They didn't come right out and say, get out of here. but they came out and said, you know, you're not part of the, you know, you're not the centerpiece of our offensive, you know,
I think they, as an organization, have too much respect for him to keep him around for much longer if they know that it's going to take a little bit of time for them to get to a level where they're going to be Super Bowl contenders. By the time they get there, he might be playing football anymore. So to let him get to see the opportunity elsewhere, I think, is, you know, it's a good classy move, I think, on their part. Where he winds up, I mean, again, like we're talking about, there's a lot of teams that could make a splash by, you know, signing him if he gets cut or trading for him. I mean, at this point, now that pretty much everyone knows he's on the market, they're going to wait for Houston to cut him. So he can definitely generate a ton of value if he winds up in the right spot. And pretty much any spot, he's in the right spot.
He is not going to be. Isn't he still in a contract with a lot of money and they're just going to take the cap hit? He'll clear waivers and maybe you can make a deal for him, but doesn't he make a ton? Here, I'll tell you right now. I have it right here.
If they're talking about this as being an option, it can't be too much of a cap hit. Or not
it's
at least
half
not
million.
Enough
that's
for it to be a worry.
$10.5 million cap hit for a guy who's clearly on the downside of his career is a big, big number.
Mm-hmm.
He'll turn 34 this year, and he has missed a lot of time with the hamstring on both legs, and he's struggling a little bit there. I wish him the best. I mean, what a great player! I mean, he's one of the best receivers we've seen. We just don't get the, you know, being from I'm in the Northeast of the United States, so I really didn't get a chance, unfortunately, to see a lot of him. But you know what I did see when he was younger, I was like, oh my goodness gracious, is he great! And you know, so you're right, as far as like the respect value goes, I don't anticipate him being. Although, he wants out, and he makes $10.5 million, and he's probably not going to clear waivers. And his fantasy value is, you know, as close to zero as you could get for a guy like that. So, yeah, I don't necessarily see that happening for him either. Wow, what a shame! Like, the shelf life in football is pretty short, huh?
Yeah.
That's what we've got. I'm thinking that LeSean McCoy's value takes a little hit. I'm thinking that Jeremy Maclin, if he goes to a good quarterback and team, his value stays the same or maybe gets a little bit better if he winds up, say, in Green Bay. And, and Andre Johnson is basically looking for a job. Because the current team is telling him that he's not going to be the featured guy anymore. Real quick on the combine, since we've only got a couple minutes left, who did you like? Who's your favorite guy?
Well, a guy I actually wrote about last week for my Beats by Ray column, and a guy that I think Chip Kelly could wind up having his eye on, is a guy named David Johnson from Northern Iowa.
You like the running back, huh?
Definitely. I think he's got that agility profile of a guy like a Joik or Le'Veon Bell, who's, you know, kind of like, you know, the 220-pound range, but they've shown the ability to be able to thrive in the passing game. Johnson has over 1,700 receiving yards in his career for college in 4 years, and
he's a big 220 boy.
Pounds. That's the kind of player I think that could do damage in a Chip Kelly system. I mean, that's just all the
David Johnson was the guy that you've got your eye on. If you're in a say a dynasty league, you know, you're in a deep keeper dynasty league. Is he picked in the first round, or does he go somewhere in the second round after the top, you know, two or three running backs and all the receivers? Or do you like him better, say, than Melvin Gordon or Amir Abdullah?
I don't think I like him better than, you know, Gurley or Gordon or any of the top tier receivers. Even I think in a dynasty, I'm thinking maybe late second. If you get an early third round pick, you can maybe wait to get him there. If he falls that far, I try to do that too. But if he's not getting mocked to the third round in a lot of these mock drafts, you might have to take him in the second round.
Yeah, that's why I've got him ranked in the late second round. As you know, I'm putting together an article I'm going to publish pretty soon here, and I've got him ranked, you know, going in the late second round. But anyway, it was great talking to you again. It's always great to hear your voice, Ray. And
indeed.
You be well and have a great week.
All right, you too. Okay, I'm going to come back and talk football again.
Have a good night, everybody.
All right.